football on off the ball.
To start with my brother from another mother, Patrick Kluivert, you had Edgar Davids, you had Frank Rijkaard, you had, and if I need to name one, Frank Rijkaard was of course the man.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koi Gig podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you to look back on what was a disappointing night in Grenoble in terms of the result, but also very hard to say that the overall experience of this Nations League A run was anything but disappointing, considering the fact that we would have chewed your hand off at the start of this qualification period if we were to get some of the results we did and also put in some of the performances that we did across the three various windows. Joining me to look back on last night and also everything that has happened over these games is Karen Duggan and Scarlett Heron. Guys, I know we were hoping this morning would be a bit more of a celebration, but as with many of the games in this window, we have to say that we've turned up happier more mornings than we have sad after games, and we've seen a lot of progress from this team. And, you know, players were rightly disappointed last night, but I think Carla Ward summed it all up best when she said, you know, we've proven a lot in this group and stuff that we didn't think we could have achieved this time last year or even when the draw was first announced. So, Karen, what are your initial thoughts now that you've had probably very limited hours to sleep on it?
Look, I think it's the same as everyone. Like, it would have been great to have had a moment like overcoming the French last night, but it was always a long shot. I think if you step back from the campaign as a whole, like you say, very positive. And in terms of achieving things we never thought we'd achieve, I think the most important thing that I saw and like the most heartening thing that I saw was how the team handled the pressure of the two Poland games. They were the better team in both of those games. It played the better football. They seemed to be comfortable with the tag of favourites, which is something, again, they're going to have to reproduce when it comes to the playoffs. And that's especially the second Poland game in the Aviva. There was obviously an outpouring of relief after that game, as opposed to the jubilation we saw after the Netherlands win, because that was job done. And it also felt like we kind of put that Wales experience to bed a little bit with that. Well, that's what I hope we've done going forward into those qualifiers. So we had an expectation coming into the group, which was that we would go to the qualifiers. We've done that. We've done it, I would say, in style. An extra 3 points on the board and better performances. Like, it was night and day this campaign compared to when Carla Ward initially came in. Like, we were much more negative coming onto the podcast after those League B wins than we have been after any League A loss. So I think that speaks volumes.
Totally agree with you there, Karen, on everything that you've said. It has been a totally different campaign. And Scarlett, I think what we've seen and what we have talked about throughout the games has been the consistency and growth that we've seen. Now, there's an argument, if you were to nitpick a little bit last night, that we kind of had a similar start, I think, to the one that we had in Utrecht, where it took us that 45 minutes to get into it. And then it was, not that it was too late, but it was just like we gave ourselves a bit more of a battle to climb and players were a bit more tired. But you have to say the French in that opening 15 minutes were brilliant. Like, there was I was working a shift and everyone was just messaging in being like, this could be a long night. So even the fact that we were able to bring it back around and, you know, we were able to make those changes, there's potentially an argument that the likes of Abby Larkin and Jesu could have come in a little bit earlier because they really did inject a little bit of pace. For anyone that's listening to this, Cara's making faces at everything I say, so both good and bad. So you can look forward to hearing those once Scarlett has given her 2 cents.
Should I just, like, Karen take three in here?
No, go ahead.
I know. No, I agree. I think, geez, there was like three questions in that. I think it would be very difficult for the girls coming into that game because I think the Dutch game would have taken so much out of them in, like, mentally as well as physically. I think it's a very drained experience, and like Karen, I'm assuming it's the same, like, in terms of how much it takes out of you during the training week. You're probably not training, your load's not that heavy, but it's a lot of information to retain. You even see during the game, like, I see it especially with Marisha Shiva, she's constantly pointing and she's constantly trying to be two places at once, and that can be really, really draining, just having to be constantly switched off. Because when you're playing a game, there is times where the ball goes out for a goal kick and it's kind of like, okay, like, we have a minute now to, like, kind of reset ourselves. But that just wasn't really the case, and it hasn't been the case when you're playing the likes of the Dutch and the French. So I think the first half we probably were a bit lethargic, but I think it does come down to that and just how tough Friday night was and how tough the preparation for tonight must have been. As well as that, I do agree, like, the French did pop it around us for the first 15 minutes, but I'd say that was nearly the plan for the first 45, to just absorb pressure and to just kind of sit in that mid to low block and kind of let them swing the ball from side to side. Like, they moved the ball an awful lot quicker than Netherlands did, I thought, and they were going to create chances. But I think the plan would have been to just try to get to halftime 0-0. Obviously, Melvin Millard had other plans, but if we could get there 0-0 at halftime, and then you see the switch at halftime to go high press, to go high energy, but you can't sustain that for a 90-minute game. It's one of those where people are saying, like, oh, why didn't they play like that for the full game? But, like, I think in the first half, the French just would have pinged it around us, and we would have been so open and exposed at the back. So I think the game plan was good. The execution was good. It could have been better. I think we probably were a bit sloppy, especially in that first half when we did get the ball. It's just a bit panicky, and, like, we're misplacing easy passes and things like that. But that all comes down to just simple nerves and little things that we've seen a lot better in the second half. But I would agree with you again. I think Abby and Jesu could have been seen a lot earlier. I thought there might have been a half-time substitution in the midfield. I thought Jesu might have come on just to give us that energy from the go and that attack and promise from the go. And then with Larko as well, like, we've seen the chance she had. I think she could have got one more of those if she was maybe brought on a bit earlier too. So yeah, there's, in hindsight, it's a great thing too for us to sit here and say this should have been done. Like, in the moment, it's obviously so different. But yeah, I think overall you can't be too disappointed with any of the girls per se, that they're gutted and, you know, very disappointed in themselves and sort of like stuff like that. I don't think that should be the case. I know what they're holding themselves to high standard, but I think for me, and like Karen already mentioned it, like, they should be very happy with the campaign they've had, how we figured out our style of play, how we figured out our starting 11. And you mentioned, Kathleen, consistency. Like, that's been the main sort of theme of this this campaign, consistency in the team, in performances and in results as well. So I think they can be very proud of themselves.
And goals as well. You know, this has been a rare game that we've actually really, really struggled to get a goal. And Pico did pull off some great saves. Now, there is an argument from an Irish side that if we had just put it a bit to the left or a bit to the right once or twice, maybe. But, like, again, it's all hindsight. And we have shown that we can attack in a way that we haven't seen from an Irish side in a long time. Karen, obviously, I agree with Scarlett when she says, like, hindsight is great, especially when it comes to the likes of Jesu and Abby Larkin. But that was one of the ones that you were kind of like, not sure if they could have come in a bit earlier.
I think you could have had 11 Katie McCabes on the pitch in the first half and everyone still would have been ran ragged. I think naturally the game was going to open up as tired legs came through, and a couple of the chances you mentioned were obviously after the French sending off. Don't think Emily Murphy or Denise had their best game after coming in. Maybe it actually wasn't good that they weren't up to the pace of, you know, the Netherlands game, and then had to go in into a game that was actually, the tempo was a lot higher than even the Netherlands game had been. I suppose the conditions would have played a part in that as well. it was a slower game in Porkykwee, which suited us and led us to be able to frustrate them a little bit better. It was also a smaller pitch. This was the first time we saw a team playing through our lines, directly through our lines, where we couldn't close off those gaps. I actually thought maybe we could have gone to a four in midfield at a point in the first half, but you didn't want to deviate again from what had worked. And they stuck with it. And I don't think it was a conscious change of game plan. I think it was more so just the natural flow of the game where we grew into it. The French are a mad one for me, because you looked at them in the first half and you just thought, geez, they're powerful, they're a powerhouse. And then they just don't seem to have that kind of ruthless edge that we see from a really top team. Like when you saw what they could do to us in the first half, and obviously all credit to our girls and the girls who came on made a massive impact. But just the fact that they seemed to drop the tempo a little bit as well themselves. I think if I was the manager, I'd be a bit nervous about that. I'd be looking to address that pretty quickly with them if they're to actually, again, be talked about as competitors at this World Cup. But just back to us, yeah, I think the Abby Larkin and Jessu did amazingly well, and there is definitely a world where those two find their way into a starting 11 over the coming months. I think particularly Jessu, we've shown now that we don't have to have the bigger person in midfield to make an impact. I still think Denise is one of the strongest players in those team, and she slotted in to a central role there. So while it's been brilliant that we've had consistency, when you have someone of the class of Jessu coming back, that's the one thing that could cause us to maybe shift that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And even just having the options as well, which isn't something that we've massively had for a long time, and touch wood, as we always say, that Jessie's able to, you know, stay fit and not go through the injury woes that she has. Scarlett, it was kind of, Steve-O was chatting to Denise after the game last night, and she was chatting on RT as well, but particularly that interview with Steve-O, you could see how disappointed she was in herself. And, you know, she was talking about the pride of pulling on the Irish jersey, and you know, while it may not have been one of her best nights, she's still a top tier player. And it's hard seeing a player like that, who does, by all accounts of her career, deserve to qualify for a World Cup automatically, even if it is with Ireland and no men's or women's team has ever managed that before. But for a player like her, it must be so reassuring to see those sort of players coming into the team and to actually see a future starting to be built that, you know, when Carla Ward first came in, we weren't really sure what to expect. Or even post the last World Cup, we weren't really sure what to expect because of the levels of retirements that there were. And here we are coming out of a window where we've beaten the Netherlands. We've previously beaten France. We did what we needed to do against Poland, and we did it comprehensively. And you have to say, in the games that we didn't win, you know, we were worth being there. You know, it wasn't a routing in any way.
Yeah, I think I've seen Denise's interview, and you're right, she's quite emotional and obviously quite disappointed with the result and how she played herself in her words. So I think that's what you want to see, though, in what is a leader in that group, is, you know, accountability. To hold your hand up and say, you know, we weren't good enough, I wasn't good enough, is a difficult thing to say in front of a camera, and you know it's going to get streamed online. Like, it's a hard thing to admit. But as I said before, I don't think you can be too hard on yourself in these situations. Like, obviously it was a huge opportunity for the girls, but I think the way that Denise has held herself for the last 10 years in an Ireland shirt, like, I think she's probably one of, if not the role model of that group for young girls. I think she holds herself to such a high standard, and you can see that in the way she plays, the way she is in interviews. You know, she just seems like an amazing person, and an amazing person to have in your team. So I suppose, moving on to then what you said about that next generation, it is great to have the likes of Jessu and Abby and everything coming in. And I suppose it is showing that pathway. Like, they, both those girls have played League of Ireland for large parts of their career so far. And then you have the likes of Vivian Clancy in there from the league too. So that is really great to see. And as you said, there has been a lot of changes. But I think we've adapted really well because there really was a period after the World Cup where there was a bit of uncertainty. You know, we changed over, Alan Gleeson became the manager, and even then there was still a lot of what's going to happen here, what's going to happen here. Now we have had the likes of Caitlin Hayes and Anna Patton come in, which, like, Caitlin Hayes last night, wow, like, what a performance. It was kind of like, I feel like it was like the Richard Dunn against Russia performance, where it was just like their sort of crowning moment. Now Caitlin Hayes is obviously a very established player, but like, Karen, I heard you talk about it last night, in the analysis, like, she has had to fight for her place, and she's had to come into a squad, be put in, be taken out, and you know, as a centre half, that's very difficult. You need to be playing consistently, sorry, and when you're taken out of a team, it is very, very hard to come in. But she has taken her chance now, and like, this campaign, I think we've really seen the best of her. And last night, I think has been her best performance in an Irish shirt so far. I'd love to see how many duels and headers she won coming out in front of Millard or following players in, and it was a really good sort of performance about her understanding and reading of the game, because as that central defender, like Karen spoke about it, that space in between the lines, if Chloe Mustaki jumps and Caitlin Hayes jumps and neither of them get it, there is a huge space in behind. But 9 times out of 10, if that ball came in to Caitlin Hayes' player, she was out in front, she was winning those duels, and she was turning them backwards. And you know, I just thought it was an absolutely amazing performance. I think, unfortunately for the girls, there probably wasn't enough great performances like that last night. It's a game of like really small margins too. Like, if Anna Patton or if Abby Larkin takes their chance, and as you said, puts it 1 foot to the left or the right, we'd be talking about a different story. But yeah, I just think Caitlin Hayes, for me, last night was outstanding.
She was sensational, and it was also, as a fan, obviously you're on the edge of your seat watching a game like that. But as you watched her throughout the game, I felt more at ease almost, you know, just like the control that she had on the ball, whether it was with her head, or there was one moment in the second half where she pulled out like a sublime tackle in the box that, again, probably 8 times, 7, 8 times out of 10 could result in a penalty very, very easily because it was so close to the goal and a really good chance. But again, it was just a perfect tackle. And you would have to say, if Hayes hadn't have put in the level of performance that she did, Anna Patton would also be the other person that would have been talked about a whole lot more, Karen, because she also was excellent. It was just that Hayes
Yeah.
was that like iota better that are on the night.
But isn't it telling that in the last couple of games of the campaign is the first time where we've really put the defenders in the conversation around player of the match? You know, before that, obviously Emily Murphy got a lot, Denise got one, and we'd expect that a little bit from Denise, but it was because we were scoring goals. But we saw last night the quality of the opposition that we were up against, and to say that we went to score the three against the Netherlands, we scored against them the previous game, scored against France, huge amount of positives. I think you're right. I think last night was the first time where we didn't have enough players who were on it. You know, we had to really to compete in that first half in particular. We really had to make every ball stick, and that just wasn't the case because as soon as that first touch wasn't right physically, France were really able to impose themselves in that middle third and got a good few breaks. And like you say, the back line were there to step up to the plate, and they really did it. And Courtney, as usual, was marshalling them, and it was really great to see that settled back line that's doing really, really well. We weren't able to unleash Katie in either of these games, probably her quieter two games. And you spoke about Denise being disappointed there, and for me now, I'd love her to just park that and go on holidays and relax, because that strapping's been on that knee for a while now. You know, it's the first time she's had to contend with that. You also forget like the toll of a move, like the toll of moving from America to England, what that would have taken mentally, physically, going into a relegation battle straight away again, mentally, physically, what that's going to take you out of a player. Mentioned it last night, Katie's move again. All of this kind of stuff is draining. So they need to be very, very proud of themselves, what they've done in this campaign, and just relax now and not be like, I have to go gung ho for October now. Now is the time to relax, get back into their clubs and build up again. The momentum that we speak about going into those games isn't really about physical well-being. It's about the fact that we're mentally, we've got good momentum because of our performances from this campaign. So yeah, I wouldn't mind wrapping a few of them up in cotton wool now for a little while. Jess Sue included.
I think we can all back that, to be fair. Yeah, because as you say, it has been an incredibly long, even the likes of Denise going from, you know, an NWSL
exactly.
season straight into a WSL, straight into, you know, really, really important qualifying games against top class opponents. And in the case of the Poles, you know, opponents that are the ones that have tripped us up in the past. So like having to have that mentality of, you know, we can continue on.
So comprehensive in that away game. So comprehensive in that Poland game. And obviously they're back on the list for teams we could potentially play in the second qualifier. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. There's some pretty decent names on that list as well. It's not a gimme that we're going to come through these qualifiers, but I think the performances in those games and what we've done subsequently, I just hope that we've learned how to deal with an occasion better than what we possibly had done. And I think that's the main kudos I'd give to the management team over the course of this campaign, is the shackles seem to be off. Like that I feel like when I was playing, there was always a fear of making a mistake. You always feared the worst. Whereas now it's like, oh, what happens if the best outcome, and now we're disappointed that the best outcome didn't come, whereas before it was almost like self-preservation. You know, and like, and obviously the last World Cup was kind of marred by that heaviness as well, and it was too much talk about the managerial stuff and all that sort of stuff. So they can take all that away and all that chatter around, it's just outside noise. That's a huge plus, because I said it last night, I don't think the quality in the squad is much better than what was there for the Euros, sitting beside Louise Quinn, like you had Fahid, all these other players who were, you know, a class above, you know, played WSL, really, really legends in Ireland. But there seemed burdened, you know, at times by the responsibility and everything that was falling on their shoulders. So the management team seemed to have flipped that a little bit, which, you know, brilliant. Like I said, we haven't changed anything. We haven't done any groundbreaking like tactics, anything like that, but we have enough players playing really well at the same time, and just positivity.
Yeah, it seems to be something that Carla Ward has been able to manage very well, is the at times prickly Irish media when it comes to Irish managers, in the sense of, you know, she hasn't been afraid necessarily to call out performances when they've needed to be called out, but no one's ever been individualized in that. You know, she's taken as much responsibility as the team for when things haven't gone right. And she's also backed them in the moments that she's needed to.
I think
to.
That's important. I think having a manager who doesn't take it personally when, you know, when an interviewer goes, okay, that wasn't a great performance. Some managers can, you know, take that personally and put it back on the players. So she had to acknowledge that League B campaign, that she got it all wrong. I think, and we hammered her, and you know, she came out the other side of it. So look, hopefully we don't revert back to that, and we keep on the trajectory that we are on.
Yeah, in hindsight, you would take that League B campaign again if it leads
as a learning curve. We were very lucky. We were actually very lucky we were in League B for that point, because if we had performed like that in League A, the whole environment is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, your relegation, then you're scrapping, you're looking up at who you're playing in the qualifiers as opposed to looking down. Totally different mindset. So we're, thank God we were relegated that last time. Seriously, like, you know, remember we were in the Aviva and looking at England just pinging it around us. That didn't happen in this campaign. Like, there's notable improvements.
Yeah. Apart from the first 15 minutes last night, but like, we'll take that over the course of six different 90 minutes.
The altitude. That's the altitude.
Yeah, I was like, if I read one more piece that talks about the foothills of the Alps or in the
It
shadow of
looked
the Alps.
beautiful, though. It did look beautiful.
It
It
did.
looked class.
This was me being jealous as I was sitting in an
Ah.
absolutely rainy, lashing Dublin, looking at everyone in the foothills of the Alps when it was like, I think it was like 20 degrees, 18, 20
Yeah.
degrees or something when the
At
game
8 o'clock
kicked
at night, yeah.
off.
Yeah. 9 o'clock their time.
Yeah, the French love a 9 o'clock kickoff. It's an interesting one. I remember doing it for the last time we played over in Metz, and it's just very odd leaving a match
Bedtime.
that late.
Bedtime.
Yeah. Scarlett, we've talked about the players and different people, but as Karen was saying there, like, kudos does have to go to Carlo Ward and the management team for what they've done. And like, it hasn't been a totally settled management team in the background, though there has been a few changes of personnel in there, but and there's been some uncertainty around managers within the squad potentially getting like different roles at different times, and like as many international assistant managers in particular, or managers that are kind of working in the background and coaches in the background, do with the women's international teams having time with clubs as well as with the international side. But they've managed to hold it all together, and there is a feeling, like Karen was saying there, that there's a unity in this squad that we haven't seen in a long time, which hopefully as they go away and they get a bit of time to themselves and they get to rest and we wrap them in bubble wrap and everything else, they can build on when that October window does come around.
Yeah, and I think the word belief has probably been Carlo Ward's buzzword this campaign, and I think it's great that squad finally now have that belief that they can go and perform on the big stage, they can go and beat the Dutch, they can go and contend against the likes of France. But I think, like, obviously there's been foundations that have led to that belief coming through. Like, you need to be prepared. You need to have a team that all are on the same page and that back the management team and what they're trying to do. You need to have that professionalism then to go out and carry it out. And I think there's a lot of building blocks that have had to be put in place in order to get to the top of the pillar and have that belief and that desire then to go and win a football match. Because I think it's desire is probably one thing we never ever lack as an Irish team, but it's been probably the prior blocks of, going into the game with the right game plan and having the right 11 on the field and all in the right positions. Like, we've seen in that Slovenia game, trying to switch players around, and I know it probably took a while for Carla Ward to actually figure out where her best players need to play in order to get the best out of them and, the right style to play and everything like that. So I think we've spoke about that enough, and that belief is now the thing that is carrying us through. But the building blocks have been ever so important in order to get there. So yeah, I think you're right. It's credit to the backroom staff, and you're like you have the likes of Gary Cronin coming in quite late in the campaign, and I think an assistant manager is also someone who's probably very underrated in terms of, never really sits in front of media, never really gets the plaudits. But in a lot of cases, I'm not sure, I've never met Gary Cronin, but and in a lot of cases, an assistant manager is very pivotal as well to taking a training session. And I don't know what the type of manager Carla Ward is either, but if she's the likes to sort of sit and watch the session rather than take it. So I think that can be a big change as well. So clearly it's worked for them, and she's found the people around her that she needs to, to bring this team to the next level, and clearly it's a really good fit. So
Is there an argument to be made to go back to that Slovenia game as far back as it was? And they actually are another one of our potential opponents should we get through the first round of playoffs, that we could meet that. It helped Carla Ward in such a way, not that it set expectations low, but because she made those changes that a lot of people have been calling for a long time, and we definitely some of the stuff that we've discussed on the podcast before, that it almost gave her a bit of a clean slate because people weren't clamoring for the sort of change in the way that they have in the past. There weren't the same sort of calls for Katie in a different position. There weren't the sort of calls to try and get Denise to be able to be on the ball in that sort of midfield maestro role that she's been able to play at club level, probably more so in the States than since she came over to Liverpool, just because of the where the teams were at. Did it kind of help her a bit in the long run, do you think? Or
I think, yeah, that's an interesting point. I do think it gave people like me, people on the outside, and fans a slap of reality of where we are. Like, we're waxing lyrical here about the progress we've made, but the reason that we have to play this system because of certain limitations that we have. You know, we're not as technically good as Spain, not as physical or fast as a France. Like, we can't go toe for toe with these teams. And everyone's saying the next step in our progression is to go at teams. Yes, it's to go at teams, but in a structured way that won't leave us completely vulnerable to counterattacks by players who are superior to the ones that we have. So yeah, I think it gave me fan base a dose of reality to say, this is the level we're at, and in order to compete, we have to play to our strengths. And that's the main thing, and that's the main change we've seen in Carla, is that she is now playing to the strength of her squads rather than the ideals that she came in with, I would say. We are so happy with the performances and stuff in this campaign because we have gone and competed with teams who are better than us, and they are better than us, you know. We are not the same as them in terms of technicality and physicality and all that sort of stuff. So the positives come from the fact that we have found a way, you know. And that's what you have to do when you are at the level of development of a football country that we are at, and that's not going to change anytime soon. We're not going to start producing a load of Puteases, you know, all of a sudden, and go out there and start playing that kind of style of football. So if this is the style of football we have to play for a long time, so be it. Once we embed it kind of in our underage systems and keep it flowing through, because we've shown that it can be effective.
100%, 100%. Scarlett, sometimes we've come out of these windows and we've talked about being, our own villains and the villains to ourselves. But I think it's fair enough to say that Melvyn Ballard is the true villain of this campaign for us. And it was hard to hate her last night because it was a brilliant goal, And if those are the sort of goals that we're going to go down for, as Karen said, it is a class above what we can potentially pull out ourselves, and also what we can defend against. There's arguments that players should have been closer and we should have shut her down, but like, you're not expecting a backwards bicycle kick to be pulled out in the first like half hour of a game. So we do have to give a word to her and two great performances against us.
Yeah, no, she's killed us. Like, just a great player and a player for a big occasion and a big moment. And like, I wouldn't mind. We actually kept her quite quiet. Like, she had to come quite deep, I thought, to actually get involved in the game. And yeah, but it players like her, it only takes one moment. And like, even the power she got behind it, like Courtney barely even seen it go past her. Like, it was that, like, there was that much power behind it. Like, it was such a good strike. But yeah, no, as you said, there can't be many questions or complaints about it, because you kind of just have to sit back and applaud it. It's that good. And yeah, if we're gonna lose a game, it's better losing it to a goal like that than, one of the scrappy set pieces that we've conceded in the past. So I think, yeah, it's hard to contain a player like that. Like, the girls obviously would have been well aware of her talents from the game in Tala, and coming on and scoring twice. And even I think in Tala she was probably given more space than she was last night. Like, I don't know if it was first or second goal where she kind of skipped by two of our players. But like, you didn't really see that last night. So I think there was a lot of learnings taken, but at the same time, like, you can't stop that. Like, you can't. She wasn't even given any space. Like, I think it was Megan Connolly who was like on top of her as she did it, and she still can produce the likes of that quality. So, as said, I think there's not much that can be said for it. Just, you have to applaud it. Like, she has had an iffy season for United as well. Like, she probably hasn't been her best, but I suppose it shows the quality of a player that can come onto an international stage and, two performances like that to absolutely kill us. So I'm sure she'll be in many of the players' nightmares in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Well, as Carlo Ward said after the game as well, the way that the French were celebrating, and it was also a relief for them because they did automatically qualify. You know, there could have been a chance that that wasn't going to happen. And we saw it happen to England when they were kind of annihilated by Spain. But I do think part of that as well was relief at the fact that we had put it up to them and things were a bit edgy, especially towards the end of the match for them, which is something to be proud of and something that we've seen with the Dutch as well across the games. Just finally, so obviously we are into the playoffs now. We always knew that we had at least the potential for one, but now we are seeded, which means we get a home game second, and also it's better for us in the next round as well. In terms of potential players or potential teams that we can face, we have Lithuania, Croatia, Kosovo, Hungary, Azerbaijan, Greece, Romania, Kazakhstan, and Belarus. So that draw is being made on June 18th. So we just have over a week to wait to see who we find, to see who we're going to be playing. And then the games are going to be held in October. And then there'll be another draw in terms of who we'll face if we get through those games in the second round. There's too many rounds to these Nations League games. I'm like, just let us go into one playoff and let that be enough.
Four games is a lot.
I'm not sure after going through the stress of the men's one if I'm fully emotionally prepared to go through this one again, but we'll take it all as we come. We are also due a holiday as much as the players because we've obviously put as much work into these
windows
as the girls. But Karen, Scarlett, any final words on last night or just the window in general? I got a lot of texts last night saying it's so disappointing. They played so well, blah, 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 blah. And in the moment, yes, you obviously feel disappointment. But waking up this morning, I was like, do you know what? Would have bitten your hand off for this when we first got the draw. I can't. You know, as a football fan, it's one of our favourite things to do is to be miserable when things go exactly the way that we hoped they would at one stage. And then to get a little bit of hope and suddenly we're going to win the World Cup. But, you know, all things considered, not the worst at all, and plenty of exciting things to look forward to, I think, come October. I hope. I'm touching wood here.
Yeah, I think I'd echo that. We're in a good place. We're good set up going into those games. I think that there's a really solid kind of 14, 15 girls there. There's probably scope to bring in another couple to bolster the squad. I think things will stay pretty consistent between now and then, and there's no harm in that. Like, as long as the group stays together and collectively the players continue to back the management and vice versa, we'll go into those qualifiers in a very strong place. And it's exciting. We love to have something to talk about. The winter months can be long.
I think, to be fair, we will be living that night in Parky Cueve, as we have a couple beforehand, for a long time, Scarlett. Just the general excitement and the amount of people it brought on board as well, because it is nights like that. Obviously, we pay a lot of attention to this all year round and we talk about it all year round, but it's moments like those that grabs the wider attention. And, you know, the fact that it was on live line yesterday, people were calling in to congratulate the girls and tell people about where they were watching it. And you're listening to Linda Gorman talk about playing in Parc des Princes in 1978 against the French. You know, it's moments like that that bring it into the wider consciousness and give us a chance to show off our knowledge to the lesser folk who aren't following this all the time.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's as well for people who people might just be casual football fans, and, you know, they might have been in Parky Cueve on Friday, or they might have watched it at home with their kids or their family or whatever. And it might, you know, if it touches on one person or one family to go, oh, like, what a performance, like, really great football. Why don't we all go to the next game or the playoff in October, or, you know, looking down the calendar whenever they're playing in Tallinn next or whatever the case may be. And it might just inspire a few more people to come out and watch the girls, which I think is what we're looking to build towards as well. Like, that's, we can't underestimate the importance of that too. And like the 12,000 people that were in Parky Cueve, like, is brilliant, because I think it is that we talk about that medium space between Tala and the Aviva. I think the Páirc Chaoimh is that, and it's just bringing us a bit of luck too. So I think it'll be great now to see if these attendances can go up, and I think if we qualified for another World Cup, that'll happen again, which would be brilliant. But I think when you're performing like that, when you're scoring goals like we did against the Netherlands, and when you're putting in performances against some of the best teams in the world, it can only inspire people and motivate people to come out and watch the girls and to see them play. So I think that's a massive thing to take from this campaign. And as well as that, like, aren't we the only team so far to not get relegated from Ligue A after coming up? So, I mean, there's just so many achievements riddled throughout this campaign. And yeah, I think for me, like, it's all about perspective. If you'd given the girls the situation 6 months ago, they obviously would have taken it with both hands. So I think there's a lot to be very proud of. There's a lot of progress made there. There's a lot as well to build on. But I think we can go into this playoff and into these hopefully two rounds of games and be very confident and be very prepared and hopefully be ready to compete in a World Cup this time next year.
Yeah, I was doing a report last night on Serena Wiegmann, and she was giving off about the fact that they'd won five games and they still had to go through the playoffs. And she was like, we've won so many games, and why do we have to go through this route? And I was like, yeah, Serena, we've won so many games. Why do we have to go through this route? Like, we deserve it on vibes as well as the performances that we've put in. Obviously, two very different situations, but I felt an affinity with her words. I was like, purely just on what we have achieved so far alone, we deserve this. I also don't know if you guys saw the USA Brazil game that happened overnight. One goal, eight sendings off. There's a video of Emma Hayes like walking. I think it's through the tunnel after the game is over, and the US videographer or whatever is walking in front of her. And you can just see, for a woman that's probably experienced so much in her football career, she's just like, what on earth just happened? It was chaos. So anyone who's waking up this morning to listen to this, go back and look at the highlights for that game, because it was quite something. But for now, I am going to bid you all adieu. The Koi Gig Pod and Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's team. Scarlett, Karen, it has been a pleasure as always. I hope you have a great rest of your day. We won't be on our regular schedule now, obviously, now that there isn't any international windows, and also the WSL is finished, but we will be bringing a couple of episodes to you over the next couple of weeks, just with interviews with various different people to reflect on their seasons. And also, obviously, we still have the league going on here as well. So do keep an eye out for those. But for now, we're signing off on a positive note, which is all we could have hoped for when we were drawn into this group. So thank you very much for listening, and we will see you all again very, very soon.